looking to engage God both in heaven and on earth, and we're looking at two pathways to do that, a pathway of relationship, which is all about inside out. That's why we can heal from the inside out, because God is on the inside of us, so that we are a gateway of from our spirit, soul, and body to the world around us, and we're going to be focusing on that part today. But also there's a pathway of responsibility in which we're to engage in heaven and to establish the kingdom there so it can be established on earth. So that brings our rulership as sons of God onto the earth. We've been in base camp and prepared a whole lot of things in our spirit, and now we're looking at our spirit and how our spirit can engage the unseen realms within our spirit, soul, and body, and also the angelic realms around us, and also that we can engage in the realms of heaven and go back through that pathway to engage God where he is. And we're going to participate in this in 4 or 5 sessions or segments of this module. And we're still on the house of God, and this is the last session of that today. So we've looked at I am a dwelling, that God dwells in me. I'm a mountain, that God's kingdom, symbol of authority, is in me. And today we're going to look at I am a gateway. So we're made in the image of God and patterned after that heavenly blueprint, which is an illustration of the tabernacle, a dwelling place. Exodus 25:40 says, "See that you make them after the pattern for them which was shown you on the mountain." So on the mountain of God, Zion, a pattern for who we were and who we are designed and created to be, a blueprint for our lives, exists. It's a book, a scroll that we can engage with. We have in our own lives inner courts, outer court, and holy of holies, body, soul, and spirit. Our body is a dwelling place for our soul and spirit. And the kingdom of God is in us, which is a illustration of the mountain, the symbol of authority where a throne sits. Genesis 28:12-17, it says, "He dreamed," this is talking about Jacob, "that there was a ladder set up on the earth." So the ladder to engage heaven starts from here, not the other way round, interestingly. The top of it reached to heaven, and that is what they were trying to do with the Tower of Babel, for an illegitimate purpose. But God has opened up heaven to us to engage for a legitimate purpose, which is so we can manifest heaven on earth. The angels of God were ascending and descending on it. He was afraid and said, how to be feared and reverenced is this place? This is none other than the house of God, and this is the gateway of heaven. Now, in the new covenant, if you like, where we are now, what, through Jesus and what he's done, we become a house of God, and God dwells in us, and we also become a gateway of heaven, and that's what we're going to really look at today. Therefore, you are a gateway to heaven and for heaven. So, literally, within our spirit, on the mountain within our spirit, there is a pillar. Mine looks like an incandescent cloud of a transporter beam, because that's how God speaks to me through this stuff. And in there, there's a door. And that door, Jesus, Father, Holy Spirit, are behind knocking every day, saying, "Let me in," or "Let me out," depending on which way you want to look at it. So the kingdom, heaven, is actually in our spirit, and that means we can connect through that door, and that door is opened into our spirit. And we have a whole series of gateways within our spirit, soul, and body that are designed to be open for what is in heaven to flow through us and around us. And we're going to be focusing on that mostly today. So literally, God's presence, his glory, the kingdom is in us. And there is a gate, which we call the first love gate, that opens up our spirit to his presence to come and fill. And then our spirit has gateways, which then lead out to the rest of our soul and body. A 3D representation of that is there. And over the next 2 or 3 parts of this module, we're going to look at being yoked to Jesus, the throne of God in our lives, and the river of life. But John 10:7 says, Jesus, "Truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep." So Jesus describes himself as a door. Verse 9, "I am the door. If anyone enters through me, he will be saved and go in and out and find pasture." So that's an illustration of us becoming children of God or adopted into the family of God by receiving salvation, being forgiven, being reconciled to God, being restored in our relationship to God, but actually also describes being able to go in and out of somewhere, and that is the realm of heaven. And so it's designed that through what Jesus has done, we can go in and out of heaven. And we find pasture there, which feeds us, so that we can bring that here. So Jesus is a door and a gateway. Romans 8:29 says, "For those whom he foreknew," which means in eternity, he already knew us, "he also predestined," so he has a destiny for us, "to become conformed to the image of his son." It was always God's intention that there is a mold shaped in eternity that looks like us. And we are to be conformed to that image which reflects sonship, which was what Jesus was, what he is, a son of God, and is what we are, sons of God. Therefore, we're also to be a door and a gateway, as he is. Now the question is, a gateway to or for what? And to know what is the significance of that gateway. You know, what does it do? Well, in the Bible there are lots of illustrations of gateways and what they were significant for. Cities had gates, and some of them were for business transactions, 1 Kings 22:10, legal transactions, Ruth 4:1 to 11, criminal cases, Deuteronomy 25:7-9, disputes and judgments, same scripture, proclamations, Jeremiah 17:19-20, festivities, Psalm 24:7, protection, 2 Samuel 18:24-33, and a whole list. I'm not going to go into those. They're just some things to show you the significance of gateways. And you'll see that Jerusalem had many different gates: fountain gate, water gate, dung gate, all sorts of different gates for various purposes. We also have various gates for various functions. So it's important to know the right ones. You know, you don't want to be taking water at the dung gate. But also the New Jerusalem also has 12 gates, which are described as made out of pearls, built upon 12 foundations. And there's a whole significance about 12 and governorship and rulership in the kingdom. So our gates literally are our senses or our abilities given to us by God as sons. Our spirit has 8 gateways, our soul has 7, and our body has 5. 1 Thessalonians 5:23 says, "May your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless or mature or perfected at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." So before Jesus comes, there's a process that goes on, that our spirit, soul, and body comes back into wholeness, unity, harmony, whichever you want to put it, back to its original condition and purpose. So God desires that we become a unified whole, reconciled to him and each other and to the world, and restored back to the condition that he originally intended for us, which is that destiny, that scroll, that mold that he has shaped us to fit. So our spirit has these senses: the fear of God, prayer, reverence, hope, faith, revelation, intuition, and worship. And worship being the key, because worship is not singing, it's obeisance, which means acknowledging who the king is and surrendering and submitting to that kingship. Our soul, conscience, imagination, reason. Our mind, which is our heart, and that has subconscious, conscious, and conscious parts, emotions, will, and choice. And the key is choice, because we've been given free will to choose whether we allow God to be ruling our lives and allow him to engage us in sonship. And our body has eyes, ears, nose, mouth, hands, sight, hearing, smell, taste, and touch, different senses. They all come together in a unified whole, but because of what's happened to us in our lives, they're very much fractured and not whole, and most of us don't even know we have gateways in the past to open, let alone have them open and flowing. So sometimes we've had a trickle flowing through our lives when we should have a river. So a gateway is a place of authority where dominion is exercised. Whoever controls your life's different gateways exercises authority and dominion and control over you. Now, that is the interesting point. Who is in control of our life? And if we're in control of our life, look out. If the enemy's in control of our life, look out. But when God's in control of our life, actually we can fully fulfill whatever he's called us to do. So our gateways are designed to be open, flowing from the inside out, so that each of us becomes a gateway of heaven. That was God's always his intention. He gave Adam and Eve dominion of the earth so that they could bring heaven's pattern and subdue the earth and bring it into alignment, and that is still our commission today. Our eyes and ears are gateways or windows. Now that's really significant, because that's our problem. Everything has flowed from the outside in, and we are conformed to that pattern, the world's mold. And in Romans 12, 1 and 2, it talks there about, do not be conformed to that mold, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So we have to begin to think differently and see things from a different perspective, so that we can be who God created us to be and fit into that mold in eternity and change from the mold that we are shaped in now. So for all of us to be conformed to that heavenly pattern, we must flow from the inside out, which is where heaven is. If we try and do it from the outside in, what are we going to see, taste, touch, which is going to shape us on the inside? So those gateways must be open. Now, whoever sits in that gate controls it. So we may have inadvertently or deliberately, some of us, given demonic forces legal access and legal rights to sit in those gates, to control them, to resist, and to block the flow. Our ancestors may also have given some legal rights to those demonic forces, and so that's where lie busting comes in and other ministry areas to free us from those things that have taken control of our gateways. These legal rights may still be there. Now, in a lot of us, we've dealt with a lot of stuff. Some people call it inner healing or ministry or the kingdom of God breaking in our lives, and some of those things have been removed. Now, the more they've been removed, the more opportunity there is for God to fill those areas and to use us and flow through those gates. But we need to remove the legal rights and cleanse and purify and rule those gates. And we'll look at that in a future module. Familiar spirits who are assigned to us by the enemy can counterfeit those gate functions for illegitimate purposes. So some of the genuine functions of revelation and other things that flow through those gateways have an illegitimate counterfeit, often in New Age or occult practices. And if we have been involved in those can severely block the flow of the kingdom through our gateways. So we need to get those sorted and removed. So we must engage our gates and know our gates. So it's really about knowing who we are and how God patterned us to be. So those gates can be open, then we can cleanse and purify them, and then we can use those gates for the purpose that God purposed and designed, so they function. So that we then can become a gateway for God. So that God can, through us, touch the world and reconcile it back to himself. Now the actual tabernacle in heaven and the tabernacle which was patterned on earth had veils or gates. Our spirit, soul and body has veils and gates. So we, each of us, is designed to be a gateway for heaven to rule the earth. So therefore you are a gateway of the kingdom. The kingdom is to be at hand around your life. Just when Jesus came, he suddenly started declaring, the kingdom is at hand. It's here, right here and now. For each of our lives, the kingdom is supposed to be at hand around us. John 14:12 is a description, if you like, of what it was like for Jesus' kingdom to be at hand. And he said, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will also do. And greater works than these he will do. So there are things that Jesus did that demonstrated the kingdom was here that we have the right to do. And there are greater things than what Jesus did while he was physically here, the things he did when he was in the realms of heaven, that we also get to do, which is pretty cool stuff. So John 10:9, we can go in and out of the gate that he's opened to engage those greater works and to manifest those greater works there so that it can be worked out here. So Jesus says the door literally is a torn veil between heaven and earth. And we live under that open gate to heaven. John 1:51, Jesus said, truly, truly, I say to you. Now, whenever you hear him say truly, truly, or verily, verily in the old version, actually means listen, because this is important. I'm repeating myself to emphasize the fact that this is a really important fact. You will see the heavens opened and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man. That still applies to us today. We can see heaven open, and actually we can experience the angels of God ascending and descending on us and around us, because we are also sons of God. Hebrews 10:19 says, "Therefore, brethren, since we have confidence to enter the holy place by the blood of Jesus," where is the holy place? In heaven. "By a new and living way, which he inaugurated through us through the veil, that is his flesh." So what he did on the cross opened up an avenue for us to come back into and engage in those realms, and to have confidence to go into the holy place. Because there was only one person that could go into the Holy of Holies, the high priest. No one else could go, and he could only go in once a year. So it was a pretty closed place. But Jesus has opened those veils so that we can actually go back into that place of intimacy and encounter and experience the presence of God, to be transformed by that presence and to be at work in that which we receive there. "And since we have a great high priest, Jesus, of the order of Melchizedek, a new order of priesthood, a heavenly kingly priest, not the old order of Aaronic priests who are just earthly, this new order, as a result of that, it says, let us draw near." So there's the invitation and the encouragement. Draw near to that place where you can actually come into the presence of God in the realms of heaven. There are many, many open heaven examples in the Word of God. Abraham, Jacob, Moses, the 70 elders who went up and ate on the sapphire pavement in heaven. Joshua, Isaiah, who went up into the temple. Ezekiel, who had many encounters there. Zechariah, Jesus, Stephen, who saw into that realm. Paul, who went into that realm. And John, who saw and went into that realm. And if you look in church history, you'll find many who are called mystics who have also encountered that right through the history of the church. That has been open. Only a few people have sought it out. But now God is opening the revelation of that so that we can all engage what belongs to us as our inheritance as children of God, to experience and engage in heaven, and to be a gateway for that experience and that encounter with God to transform us and transform the world around us. Revelation 4:1, the door stands open in heaven. It's not closed, it stands open for us to engage. So each of us lives under an open heaven, so that we can have an invitation to interact with the spiritual realms, both the eternal heavenly realms and the unseen angelic realms that operate in this and around this dimension. So the gateway of first love is the key place. That's where our access to the source of living water comes from, river of life, so that we can be filled and to overflow with that life. John 4:10-14, Jesus' encounter with the woman at the well, which very interestingly was Jacob's well. "And Jesus answered and said to her, if you knew the gift of God, he would have given you living water." So obviously the gift of God is Jesus, and Jesus wants to give living water. "Jesus answered and said to her, everyone who drinks of this water will thirst again," talking about the water that came out of Jacob's well. But of course, remember, Jacob had access to heaven, not just earth. So there was a heavenly well as well as an earthly one. "Whoever drinks of that water I will give him shall never thirst, but the water that I will give him will become in him a fountain of water springing up to eternal life." So we have access to that heavenly source and supply that in us becomes a fountain that springs up. Now that indicates movement, energy, life. And God doesn't want it to stay as a fountain. He wants it to become something else. John 7:37-39. "Jesus stood and cried out, saying, if anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scriptures said, from his innermost being." Now that literally word innermost talks about, it actually means a hollow or a cavity within. And that's where our spirit dwells within our body. from his innermost being will flow rivers of living water. So that fountain, that source of life, is intended to become rivers that flow out of the gateways of our life. This he spoke of the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were to receive. And that is our engagement. And when we look at the river of life, we'll look at how the Holy Spirit engages and activates that. Now, in Ezekiel, I'm not going to read the whole passage because it's quite a long one. This is described and illustrated of this flow of life. Verse 1, it says, then he brought me back to the door of the house. Now, he was looking at the temple. Now, we know that now we're the house, so we can look at how this applies to us. We know that the church is the house in one sense, so it can also apply to us corporately. But looking at it individually, behold, water was flowing from under the threshold of the house towards the east. And it's really interesting when you look at what comes out of the east in the Bible. And so we'll look at that a little bit. So water was flowing, that's the key, from the house. Then in verse 7 to 9 and 12, it says, now, when I returned, behold, on the bank of the river that was flowing out of the house, there were many trees on one side and on the other. Now, you find, again, illustrations of this in Psalm 1, that we're to be a tree planted by rivers of living water and of that stuff. You also find it in Revelation, where it talks about the river of life and the tree of life on the sides of the river and in its midst. And we've been there and we'll go there again to engage that in an actual spiritual sense. So when I had returned, behold, on the bank of the river, there were many trees on one side and on the other. And then he said to me, these waters go out toward the eastern region, then they go down toward the sea. Now in the Bible, the sea is often illustrative of the nations of the world, where the land is illustrative of God's people. And where they go, they flow into the sea and the waters become fresh. So this river is supposed to change the things around us, an illustrative of salt water becoming fresh. Now, we know that's impossible naturally, but not in the realm of the Spirit. Then it says, and it will come about that every living creature which swarms in every place where the river of life goes will live. Now, we know from Isaiah 2 that the mountain of the house of the Lord is going to be lifted up above all the other mountains, symbol of authority and power, and that the nations will stream to it. And this is what it's saying here. Where there is a true demonstration of the life of God manifested on earth as it is in heaven, people will stream to it. And there will be many fish, for these waters go there and the others become fresh, so everything will live where the river goes. Now that's what our life is supposed to be, a place that brings life to the world. And it's a fantastic illustration. And the river on its bank and on one side and on the other will grow all kinds of trees for food, and their leaves will not wither and their fruit will not fail. Again, talking about our life when we're flowing with heaven from inside out. And they will bear every month. In other words, there won't just be seasons, but every month, illustrative again of Revelation 22, where it talks about the river of life and the tree of life bearing fruit. And these, where the water flows from the sanctuary and their fruit will be food and their leaves for healing. That is what our lives is designed to be to the world, a source of life for healing and reconciliation. So I'm a gateway for the river of life to flow from heaven through my spirit, through my heart to the world. Just as in Genesis, the river flowed from Eden, the heavenly garden of God, to Adam's garden that was in east of Eden, interestingly enough, in the east, to become four rivers that flowed out to water the earth. That was God's pattern, and it's to become a pattern in us, that flowing from our lives, those rivers flow out. And the key is we have to open the first love gate so that the river of life can flow. For most of us, it's like it's trickling under the door. You know, it's just trickling, and all that we've experienced in the realm of the Spirit has been a trickle. Imagine what it will be when that is fully flowing as a river and rivers in us and through us. It will be nothing like it is now, I guarantee. So that river of life is supposed to flow out through our gates to engage our soul, to bring life to our soul, and through our body to bring life to the world. Now, switching to another illustration also, God is light. Jesus was the light of the world, and we're supposed to be the light of the world. So the source of life and light is in us. But it must radiate from us, and that life and light needs to come from inside out to come around. Now, Jesus illustrated that at his transfiguration. He literally radiated light. So there was a manifestation of what was in him on the outside of him, and I believe that we will see that again and again. It is actually happening. I've seen pictures of people who were actually shining and physically shining and were caught on camera doing it. So the kingdom is in us, which is the place where God rules, but must be manifested through us. So as Isaiah 9 says, there is no end to the increase of his government or his kingdom and of peace, which means shalom and wholeness. So that means God's kingdom, that place where he rules, needs to come out from behind that door and in heaven and actually be manifested in my spirit, soul, and body. So it must increase and expand and grow in me and through me and around me. So the gifts that he gives to us and the fruit which develops in us needs to grow and then be released so that we bring life wherever we go. And that's God's desire for us, to be a source of his life. So John 4:12, the works of Jesus were manifested through miracles, healings, and control over the world in which he lived, nature. So he was able to stop storms. He was able to multiply food. He was able to produce money out of a fish's mouth. He was able to walk through people supernaturally. He was able to disappear in the temple so they couldn't see him. He had physical control through his spirit over his physical body and the vibrational frequency of it, so he could change it to enable him to do those miracles. When I went into heaven, that was one of the things I asked, because Jesus said to me on numerous occasions, what do you want to know? And I wanted to know how he did the miracles. Just came straight into my mind as a thought, how did you do this? How did you do that? And he showed me. And it was all about controlling the frequency and vibration of the energy that was in him and around him in the world. Because it says in Ephesians 4:6 that God is in and through and above everything. And so there is still a vibrating frequency, which is the grace of God, the divine ability of God, vibrating as the smallest particles of strings, which is where string theory comes from. It's his voice still vibrating and holding everything together. And we and he can engage in that vibration today to change it, which is why we can change and move matter. Everything created as a vibrating frequency, a sound, an image. So when we resonate with God's frequency of love, grace, mercy, we have that vibrating energy in us and through us and around us. So we bring life wherever we go. So literally, I am a gate for my mountain authority. And you are. So we're a channel for God's kingdom within us to become the kingdom around us, as his spirit is joined with our spirit in unity and oneness, so we can then engage and bring dominion from the spiritual to the physical realms within the spheres of influence that we've got. And we know that our mountains are symbols of the spheres of influence that we've got, and we have seven of them associated with our lives, which are what God has called us to bring government into. And some of those can be international, national, local, around my life and circumstances. So literally, the kingdom is at hand, or should be at hand, wherever I stand, wherever I live, wherever I go to work, wherever I am, the kingdom should be at hand. Therefore, a manifestation of God's love, power, should be available to us. Literally, as an energy field, a vibrational frequency, and an atmosphere around my life. And therefore, I can live in an atmosphere of heaven on earth, because it can manifest around me as a shield, if you like, or a force field, or whatever you want to view it as. Therefore, we're living under the authority and power of God's love from heaven, even though we're living on the earth. We're not subject to the laws of the earth, should we know how to manifest this through our lives. So that literally what we are is establishing the rule of heaven as embassies. We are embassies of heaven on earth. Therefore, we are ambassadors of reconciliation to bring the whole world into that restoration of God's intended purpose for it. That is the ministry that we've been given. So we can become a free-flowing gateway. So the atmosphere of heaven and the glory and the expression of God as love radiates as light through us as transfigured spirit beings. Now, we've got some work to do to get our gateways open, to see our DNA and our physical body actually transfigured and changed into the original image. But we've been given the tools to be able to do that. Communion is one of the most powerful tools to take on and eat the blood and body of Jesus so that we take on his dimensional DNA and the vibrational frequency of it to transform our DNA to align the sequences of DNA into the image of God. And that's what God is wanting us to do, so that the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, goodness, kindness, etc., will bring life and peace and rest around us, to change that water from salt to fresh, to change the world in which we live. In fact, the whole creation is waiting for us. Romans 8:19. The anxious longing of the creation waits eagerly for the revealing of the sons of God. The whole of creation is waiting for us to take our place. That creation itself will also be set free from its slavery to corruption into the freedom of the glory of the children of God. So we must be set free from the corruption that's affecting our lives, our soul and our body, which is subject to corruption because of sin. But Jesus has dealt with sin, therefore brings us to be able to come into freedom and to bring that freedom to the whole of the created order, not just this planet, but everything that was created both in heaven and on earth. For we know that the whole creation groans and suffers the pains of childbirth together until now. And we're living in that now in which we can actually bring a change to the whole of creation. So literally, we become a resonant harmonic frequency. Now, for those of you who don't understand that, Google it and find out. As we become part of heaven's symphony, answering creation's groan. You know, I was asking God, what does it look like? How do I describe it? And that's what he said. We become a resonant harmonic frequency as we become part of heaven's symphony, answering creation's groan. And I've heard that sound. I mean, it's an amazing sound, light, fragrance, frequency, concoction. It's just, it all comes together in heaven. I mean, it's an amazing thing to experience it and to hear it and to feel it and to sense it and to see it. And it's supposed to flow through us. So that frequency or sound, it's recognized and responded to by creation itself. See, creation was designed to release its blessing to us as we released our blessing to it. And most of that is withheld because it's held in bondage. And when we free it, we can actually see creation respond to us and release to us everything that God has intended. We will raise creation's frequency back to its original condition of harmony between heaven and earth if we carry a high enough frequency ourselves. So as we embrace our destiny of sons, as we take God's desire to reveal us and manifest as sons who will live at that higher frequency, things will change. We will start restoring the frequency of the planet and the universe back into alignment so it resonates with heaven once again, reconciling and restoring it. Someone sent me a picture this week that said, this is what it will look like when everything starts coming into alignment with our frequency. So literally the planets and everything will start to be realigned. Now, Romans 5 describes reconciliation. Verse 10, for if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his son, much more having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. That's the process of bringing us into wholeness. And not only this, but we also exult in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received the reconciliation. Spirit, soul, body in harmony, saved, sozo, delivered, protected, provided for. Everything that salvation has is to be outworked through us and in us. 2 Corinthians 1:18-20. Now all these things are from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. Namely, that God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, He has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Therefore, we carry the word, the frequency, the voice of God for reconciliation. That is what will be manifested through us, the word of God. And it's not just the written word in a piece of paper or in a book, but the vibrating frequency of the potential energy of God's ability, his grace, available to us. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, as through God we're making an appeal to, through us, we beg you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. We should be appealing to the world by our expression of that word to be reconciled to God. John 14:10. Do you not believe that I'm in the Father and the Father is in me? That's the relationship. That's the house of God. And now they're in us. The words that I say to you, I do not speak of my own initiative. But the Father abiding in me does his works. So as we engage in this relationship of intimacy and we know the Father, Son, and the Spirit in intimacy on the inside of us and in heaven, literally we are a gateway, a God channel. A channel for God to do his work through us. For God to work through us as sons. Because he wants sons. It was always his intention that Jesus would be the firstborn of many brethren. In other words, sons. So as my spirit grows, it literally enlarges its territory of the kingdom to encompass and be unified with my soul. So my soul aligns itself with my spirit, not the other way around. So my spirit needs to rule. So my soul needs to submit. That's the process that we're in. So being unified with my soul and in cooperation to flow out through my body to engage the world around me. So I am whole and bring that wholeness to a broken, fractured world. For God so loved the world, he gave his son Jesus, and he gives us as his sons. He has given us to the world as his sons. There's a diagram there that explains what we have in our relationship with our spirit, how that then affects our heart, and then because we have access to heaven, then we can manifest to the world around us deliverance, the works of Jesus, miracles, supernatural things, the character of Jesus created greater works and all the things that we're designed to do as sons of God. So that, literally, that area in us actually is on the outside of us. And that is God's intention, that that atmosphere is radiating around us with the essence of love, because that's who God is. God is love. God is spirit. So it makes sense that there will be a spiritual atmosphere of love. So the works of Jesus are love in action, the essence of the Father, who through and around us has a literally an electromagnetic field of love, because everything vibrates as electromagnetic energy. An atmosphere of the kingdom that rules and governs by love, creating an atmosphere or field of love, a vibrational frequency of love that creation, the spirit realm, angels, demons can detect. They detect what atmosphere that we have. And a good atmosphere pushes away negative things, and a bad atmosphere draws negative things to it. Hence, if we have bad attitudes, demons smell them a mile off, just like a shark can smell blood in the water for 5 miles, apparently. So it's very important that we have the right things flowing through our lives so that we can radiate and emanate that field of love and grace and mercy and power and love around our lives. Now, you know, you can see it when you look into the realm of the spirit. So if I choose to do that, I can see what's emanating and radiating from each of us. Then you can learn how to do that as well. It comes often as color and fragrance and things around people that you can see and engage with so that you can see what's coming out. You know, and I was doing that earlier on in the meeting when we were waiting to start. I was looking around and I saw some things that are emanating that I believe God wants to deal with. And fear is the biggest thing that draws the enemy. It's so important that love, perfect love, casts out fear from our lives. A practical application, I'll finish with this before we go into an exercise. Very practical application of this. I was asking, okay, how do we get what's on the inside out? We can draw that which is on the inside of us from by choice. For instance, when we're in an atmosphere where we're together and there's an overflow and there's an anointing and it's like you just feel it and you sense it, it's great. You can minister healing. You can see just God minister. Angels are ministering. It's just wonderful. But sometimes it's not like that. Sometimes you have to do stuff when there's no atmosphere, when you're on your own. How do you then create that atmosphere? It needs to flow from the inside out. So we can draw from that which is on the inside of us to create something on the outside of us. For instance, in terms of healing, we can draw from our faith gate the potential possibilities of what God says. And God says we can lay hands on the sick and see them recover. We can cast out demons. We can raise the dead. We can do those things. God says that these signs will follow those that believe. So when you engage your faith gate, you're engaging in belief. I believe that I can do this. Then you mix that with what's in our hands or in our voice, in that frequency that's vibrating. In my hand, there is a vibrating frequency, which is the grace of God. It is at the smallest particle, if you like, or time, and it's going in and out of heaven, and it's connected to a source of power which is greater than what's here on the earth. So that vibrating frequency, when I connect it with faith, in other words, I believe that when I lay hands on someone, they will be healed, literally anointing forms in my hand. And when we lay hands on people, often they feel heat or vibration, because literally that's what's happening. Anointing, which is the charge, equipping power of God, is produced when we mix faith and grace together. And we can draw that deliberately and apply it. And the same goes when we speak words that are faith and grace. They can speak into someone's DNA and change it. You can speak into a situation and remove trauma from people's cells. There are things we can do in the power of healing because we can draw and apply the supernatural power of God to it. Now, you might think, well, why do I need to know that? Well, because God told me to tell you. I asked him. If you just want to do it by magic, fine, you can try. But actually, God wants us to know how to specifically engage in deeper forms of healing so that people keep their healing and don't lose it. Because many times people lose it because they don't know how to keep it. So when we can apply these things, we can actually teach them to keep their healing. So the gates of our spirit, soul and body needs to open. That starts with first love gate. That's the gate on the inside of us. That is a source of heaven. So what is flowing from those gates? We need to ask ourselves. What is the frequency that we're vibrating at? Because low frequencies indicate sickness. High frequencies indicate health. Healing oils and other things are manifestations of high frequency. We need to be manifestations of that frequency so that the colors that we manifest and fill the atmosphere are colors that come out of the palette of heaven, not of earth. So, Revelation 3:20, behold, I stand at the door and knock. Jesus, talking to each of us right now, saying, I'm standing at the door, which is in your spirit, and knocking. Not just knocking. If anyone hears my voice, so he is speaking, he's vibrating, he has a frequency, and opens the door. So when we engage with that frequency and open the door, I will come into him and we'll dine with him and he with me. Intimacy, fellowship, relationship. And we can all do that. But we need to invite him in. 1 Corinthians 6:17. The one who joins himself to the Lord is one spirit with him. So literally when we're opening that door, we are inviting a joining, if you like. A coming together, being joined, entwined in oneness, a spiritual union, resonating with his frequency. Literally we can begin to align ourselves with his frequency. Therefore then we can start flowing and radiating. So Jesus is knocking. There's the door within our spirit, which engages with heaven. There's an expectation of what's behind that door, his presence. The handle is on our side, and you can open it. So we're going to do that. So I want to encourage you as you're doing this. We want to see the river, living water flowing from that first love gate. I want to encourage you to drink that living water. Drink it deeper and deeper. Let it become a river in you. Just start to feel that vibrational energy resonating within you and to start feeling the flow. So I encourage you to close your eyes. And as you close your eyes, just relax in God's presence. Just start to focus, thinking about that door in your spirit. Just think about that door with expectation. Who's going to engage you? The Holy Spirit in all his energy in life. Jesus with his love. The Father with your identity. Just think with expectation. Just to start to picture that door in your imagination, within your mind, within your heart, on that screen. Just picture the door within your own spirit. Just see the handle. Start listening for God knocking on that door. Just start to listen to the frequency. Just reach out and open the door in your spirit, that door of first love. And just consciously invite God in. Just let him engage you, spirit, soul, and body. Just let your senses feel his presence, his embrace, his acceptance, his love all around you right now. In your innermost being, accepted, affirmed, loved. If you've never invited Jesus to come into your life ever, if you don't know God personally in this way, you can for the first time just choose to open up your life and invite him in. He will reconcile you and give you a relationship. He'll forgive you and wipe your slate clean. He'll give you a new beginning. You may have done this many, many times, but there's a fresh engagement with him every time. Something new to experience, something deeper to engage in. Just feel yourself being joined to him, connected to him, vibrating with his frequency, resonating. Just feel that heart-to-heart connection. Just become conscious of that river, that spring, that fountain of living water. And just drink it. Just see it getting deeper and deeper within you, filling you. That river energizing you, filling you with life. For those of you who've engaged your gates before, you might want to just consciously open those gates, spirit gates, soul gates, body gates, just to let that river flow deeper and deeper in you. Let it be streams that make glad the city of God, flowing into your soul, filled with joy and grace, of love and peace. Just let your soul be filled with the love of God. As your spirit just enlarges and gets bigger and bigger, just sense it flowing through you and out of you. Just create that atmosphere, that field of energy around your life. Filling this room with love and joy and peace. Some of you can just engage that atmosphere. Just draw from within you those who are called to healing. And just let healing flow out of you today. Some of you can engage your angels and the angelic realm in this room right now, because there are many angels gathered. You can engage your spirit with. So your spirit just encompasses your soul and body and creates this atmosphere of energy, of life, of God's kingdom around you, being filled with rivers of living water. Look into the realm of the spirit right now. Here you can see the wondrous colors and smell the fragrances and see those fields vibrating energy of life filling this room. All the colors and fragrances just mixing together. Let that love cast out all fear from your life, all fear of the supernatural, all fear of seeing God face to face, all fear of the angelic realm. Just let perfect love create an atmosphere of God's kingdom of heaven here on earth as you establish those embassies, as you become ambassadors of reconciliation. Just call out to the creation that's waiting for you, groaning with a low frequency. Call out that higher frequency, release that higher frequency into your spheres of government. See that salt water all around your life becoming fresh. See swarms of fish just drawn to you as you become a source of life, healing, wholeness, God's kingdom power, miracles, signs and wonders. As we just prepare ourselves to just re-engage in this realm, just encourage you just to practice these things. Daily practice opening the gates of your spirit, soul and body. Practice engaging in first love and experiencing God's frequency, His love, His power, His presence. So more and more you can be an embassy of heaven on earth, that you can engage with creation and bring reconciliation and restoration as God manifests you as His sons on the earth.